Hey folks, we're doing an episode about roleplay, so we're going to touch on some potentially triggering stuff, including age play, incest roleplay, daddy dom little girl roleplay, medical play, bullying roleplay, con non-con, and rape fantasy. So if any of that is difficult for you, please feel free to skip this episode. That's totally cool. You take care of you. Welcome to the Dildork, Storky Discourse on Sex, Dating, and Masturbating. My name is Kate Sloan. I'm a sex journalist, a sex blogger, and I sound like a professional, competent, goddamn adult right now, but sometimes I like to roleplay as a little girl, and that's fine. Who are you, friend?
I'm Bex. I'm a sex educator and a sex blogger, and I didn't actually realize I was, I was roleplaying for a very long time and did not realize I was into roleplay. Like, I did not connect that. Well, because, so you think of roleplay as these, like, structured scenes, right? Mm-hmm. With, like, you know, I'm going to be the professor, and I'm going to be the schoolgirl, and we're going to, you didn't turn in your homework, and now a scene happens. And, like,
right, that's costumes and a narrative arc and character choices.
Yeah, and that's not, like, I don't do that super often. I've done it, but not super often. Mm-hmm. But, like, so much else of what I do is just much more loosely structured roleplay.
Yep. Yep, that is also a conclusion that I have come to. I think, like, with me being so publicly into the daddy dom little girl thing, I think a lot of people probably assume that I'm doing that in a very literal way a lot of the time that I have sex with my partner. Mm-hmm. And it's much more fluid than that. Like, we're kind of moving in and out of those roles a lot, and at moments I feel littler than at other moments, and it's not always like a structured scene where we're imagining, you know, physically being in that situation.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell me more about how you first discovered / got into roleplay.
So I've always had, like, a really rich fantasy life. Like, I like to create narratives when I'm fantasizing about things, and it's about why you're in that situation and the energies in the situation and the mentality you come at the situation from and how you're feeling so much more than it is about what's actually happening for me in my kink and in, like, when I'm jerking off. Those are the things I'm thinking about more than, like, the sensations of, like, oh, and now this person's, you know, fucking my ass or whatever. Like, that's not the part that I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
It's why I'm there and who this person is and how I feel about them fucking my ass. Mm-hmm. So roleplay kind of became a natural extension of that.
Yeah.
And for me, generally, it's about power exchange. We're going to roleplay that one person has more power than I do. And the context around that, the setting around that we create, might be more structured, might be less, but that's kind of the core of it for me, and roleplay just kind of enhances that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that roleplay, like, inhabited my psychological kind of sexual landscape too for a really long time. And I would like fantasize when I was alone about things. Like, I would take the face and the attributes of, like, whoever I was crushing on at the time and kind of put them in this situation in my head. Like, they're my doctor or they're my professor or whatever. And that would be hot. But it never really occurred to me to, like, take that outside of fantasy, because I think I assumed that other people wouldn't be into it, especially, like, when I was dating vanilla people. I was like, oh, I know that this person wouldn't be into this, so, like, imagining them saying and doing these things is the closest I'm gonna get. And then I got more into it when I started dating my current partner, because we're long distance and we do a lot of stuff over the phone, and so there was something about that made roleplay feel easier to me, because, like, I didn't have that internal pressure of, like, I have to look the part and I have to constantly be acting and it has to be this, like, big artificial thing. When it's just your voice and just your words, I feel like it was easier somehow for me to kind of fall into a scene. And there are times when we set it up beforehand and we're like, okay, let's roleplay. Here's what we want to do. But I would say, like, more often we just kind of, like, fall into it pretty naturally, and can kind of pick up on it from what the other one is saying. And, yeah, I like it a lot.
Yeah, that's what I found. A lot of my role play has been, like, long distance or text or whatever. And I found that it was a lot of situations. It was much less structured and just a lot of... Because it comes more organically for me that way as well, because I'll just say things like, you know, well, I was thinking about this thing and it was really hot, and then the person might be like, oh, would you like it if I... And then you just kind of be like, yeah, but I think it would be hot if this happened, and it kind of builds from there. And it starts out as like a, well, how would you feel about this situation, and moves towards more of like actually playing it out and describing it.
Yeah.
And I also find that kind of role play for me is more like building a fantasy together than it is about like improv and acting, which I think is what I pictured and what a lot of people picture when they think of role play.
Yeah.
Where for me it was more storytelling.
Yeah. I've talked to a lot of people who like get really intimidated by role play and even just by like sexting and stuff in general, because they think that they have to be really confident and be like, and then I do this and now I'm gonna do this. And it's like, you can actually come at it from a much more casual angle and kind of just be like, well, it would be really hot if this happened, or like, think about this or whatever. And it's like, you don't have to go into it imagining that you're like acting out a scene in the present tense, although that can also be really fun. It's just, there are a lot of different ways to kind of imagine yourself in different scenarios.
Yeah. I think the cultural narrative around role play is really interesting, though.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it gets played up as like this goofy, weird thing in a way that other kink doesn't. And it's very much labeled as a, like, spice up the relationship kind of thing. And it seems like it's a lot of, it's in this weird limbo between kink and vanilla. When...
Yes. I feel like a lot of people seem to think of it how it's often, like, made, how, like, LARPing is, like, made fun of popular culture. Like, it's, like, a ridiculous thing that, like, only weirdos would do, or you would only do if you were desperate. And it's, like... That really ignores the reality that a lot of us, when we have sex or when we participate in kink, are like to some extent putting on a role. It just not might not be as explicitly defined as it often is in the types of role plays we think of when we think about role play.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like role play can be goofy and silly, and it can be campy, and it can be really dark if you want it to, or it can be really tender. And like... Yeah. There's a really wide breadth of emotion that can come from role play that I don't think is really represented in the cultural perception of it.
Yes, totally. And I think a lot of people also feel pressured to get the look and the character right.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to like play this weird character who is like totally separate from you. Like you can play like just like, what if you, the person who is you, was a student or a professor or a doctor, or like, you know, kind of put yourself in those shoes. And it doesn't have to be so far removed from who you are, and in fact it's probably more fun if it isn't.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking a lot in preparation for this episode about like what I like about role play, and I think like one of the major things that I really really love about it with my partner is that it allows us to return to this space of like how things felt early in our relationship when we weren't totally sure that the other person was into us. And it was kind of like, will they or won't they? Like, how into this person am I? And like, how into me are they? And so we kind of get to do this like flirty thing of like seducing each other and flirting with each other and having like innuendo and like uncertainty in this really exciting way that like normally when you're in an established relationship, you don't really get to access that very much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I've found, like, I haven't been in too many, like, long-term relationships before, but, like, it was a key source of, like, distress for me in the couple of, like, long-term ones that I was in, that we eventually lost our sense of, like, flirting with each other and trying to impress each other and trying to win each other over. And it's, like, there are ways you can combat that, but roleplay for me has been one of the easiest ways, because if I am committed to that character, I can step fully into the mindset of, like, oh, I don't know this person very well, and they're flirting with me, and, like, does that mean that they're into me? And, like, trying to come up with, like, flirty innuendos to say to them and stuff, and it's, like, it just really takes me back to that time, and it feels like I get to see this other side of my partner that I either don't get to see at all or haven't seen in quite a while, and that's really fun.
Yeah. I really enjoy the exploration aspect of it, mm-hmm. because, like I said, for me, it's more about storytelling than it is about performance, mm-hmm. and I like playing out these different scenarios and seeing what I find hot about them. Because nearly every time mm-hmm. I do it, I'm like, oh, that is hot. Or, oh, that's interesting. That turns me on. And then exploring whatever those things are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always find that really fascinating. Just encountering things in general and being like, huh, but how could this be sexy?
Yeah, totally. An example of that that's happened to me recently is, so, my partner and I have a DDLG relationship, so, like, he's my daddy, and, like, most of the time he takes on that role, which is, like, a very loving, caring, supportive role. But then we had talked about experimenting with other role plays where he would maybe be my older brother or a school bully, and we liked that there would be this element of, like, instead of him being fully nice to me all the time, he would be, like, making fun of me and bullying me and, like, maybe trying to humiliate me. And stuff like that, where, especially, like, with the older brother role, like, there was an element of, like, all of that, like, more negative humiliation stuff, but, like, also with this element of, like, he loves me, he cares about me, he's not going to be too mean to me, probably. So it kind of helped bridge the gap between this thing that was very comfortable, which was the DDLG stuff for me, and, like, some stuff that was a little bit edgier that I wasn't totally sure that I was going to be into, but I thought I might be, yeah. So it kind of helped us branch out in that way.
I did a lot of, like, schoolyard bully stuff, or do a lot mm-hmm. of, because that's, like, my favorite kind of dominance, that, like, mm-hmm. playful, sadistic, and then I played into a lot of, like, well, these are the cool kids, right? So, like, I want to impress the cool kids, and, well, right. If you say I have to, I guess I'll do the thing if that's what will make me one of the cool kids. Because all the cool kids do this, right? Mm-hmm. And that kind of roleplay I did a lot of. And I like that they can be mean, and it can feel like the end of the world, right? Because you're getting bullied in high school and it can feel like the worst thing.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, in a lot of cases, like, things can go real dark, but in a lot of cases, you know, you're gonna get a black eye or whatever, and then,
mm-hmm.
like, that, it's this little microcosm of society where everything feels like life or death, but it's really just high school. But to kind of play with those heightened emotions, right? Everyone's going through puberty, it's all hormones, and it feels like everything. And
yeah.
to kind of step back and play around in that is really, really fun for me.
Yeah. I totally agree. I think that through roleplay and through kink, I've been able to access headspaces that I almost, like, forgot existed. Mm-hmm. Like, very, very real feeling headspaces from when I was much younger. And sometimes that can be really scary. But if you're in a situation that feels safe and comfortable, then it can actually be really cathartic and healing. And, like, I know that, like, at Woodhull this year and at other conferences I've been to, I've seen a lot of talks given about, like, kink and trauma and how kink in some cases can help you move through trauma. And, like, I definitely was thinking about that a lot when my partner and I did a bullying scene recently, because in the scene, like, I was, like, kind of a teacher's pet, and he was, like, trying to get my homework answers off me and was kind of, like, using sexual coercion to try to make that happen. And in real life, like, I was kind of a little bit bullied for being a teacher's pet and being an overachiever and a nerd and stuff. And so there was something healing in a way about finding pleasure in that. I think that it's, like, very easy to tip over into, like, not so great territory when you try to do that stuff. So, like, you want to do it carefully and, like, ideally with the help of, like, a kink aware therapist probably. But he wasn't, like, directly making fun of me for being an egghead or whatever, so, like, I didn't tip over into, like, feeling triggered by any of that stuff or anything, but it was a way of sort of, like, playing with these very old, very intense feelings in a way that was more pleasurable.
I also find it really helpful or fun to explore the teenage years I didn't have. Like, I was a good kid, and I was bullied, like, a little bit, but my school was, my graduating class was, like, over 700 or something. It was massive. So I mostly faded into the background. I was picked on a little bit, but mostly just ignored. So, like, some of the roleplay stuff I can do almost gives me that high school that only happens on TV, right?
Yeah.
That, like, high school that when we were teenagers, we were told existed by, like, the CW, but are not actually real high schools.
Yep.
But roleplay, you can create those high schools, and you can kind of live experiences that you didn't, that maybe it's better that you didn't, but also that are kind of hot.
Yes. Yeah. I think all the time about that with regards to, like, professor-student or teacher-student roleplay, because when I was younger, I had a chronic problem of constantly having crushes on my teachers and my professors, especially, like, really smart, funny, masculine ones. And this was just a recurrent problem. And, like, I was aware at the time, of course, that it would be completely inappropriate for them to flirt with me or initiate any kind of relationship with me. So, like, I didn't really want that, but I still had this crush. So there was still this, like, deep part of me that, like, a little bit wanted that. So to be able to roleplay those scenes now with my partner, who is, like, a year and a half older than me, so it's ethically fine, kind of gives me a sense of, like, that feeling of, like, taboo excitement that I was craving but also knew would actually be really bad back then, and do it in a way that's healthy and won't get anyone fired from their job.
I'm curious, is it about the taboo for the teacher-student thing for you, or is it about the... just the dynamic? Because I know for some role plays for me, it is about the taboo, but for other ones, it's just like, well, teachers act in this sort of way, in this sort of nurturing, dominant way, and it's not necessarily that it would be taboo for a teacher to fuck a student, but just, I like the way those two interact.
Yeah, it's, for me, it's a little bit about the taboo, to the extent that, like, it's exciting to me to think that someone would be so attracted to me that they would reject social expectations about what they should and shouldn't do and pursue me, even though it would be ethically and legally problematic. So there's a little bit of that in there, but I think mostly for me it was like, I was a burgeoning kinkster, and, like, I was and am a good girl, like, in a real world sense and also in a kink sense. And so I really, really craved the validation of, like, older, smart people telling me that they thought I was smart and that I was doing a good job. Mm-hmm. And there was, I think for me, always, like, a slightly sexual tinge to that desire that I was not really acknowledging or aware of at that time, but am very aware of now. So, yeah, it's fun to be able to play with that and to have that feeling of that sense of being rewarded and being noticed, and to be able to make that into a sexual thing without it being a gross ethical problem.
Yeah. I think one of the most interesting things about being a kinky adult for me is looking back on my life and being like, oh, that was a kink thing. Right. I'm also at, like... Mm-hmm. kind of a kinky renaissance right now, where I'm recognizing all of my kinks that are non-sexual, and, like, the ways in which my kinks are very separate from my sexuality. Like, they're not as intertwined as I had previously thought. Like, there is some kink and fetish stuff that for me is fully just about the joy of that kink and fetish thing, which I think, like, my masochism lately has been very much just about the joy of enduring pain. Like,
we should and could do an entire episode about non-sexual kinks, because yes, excellent. I'm so interested in that.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's the thing, I don't know, I'm just, like, realizing it more lately. I'm like, oh no, there are, like, full chunks of my, like, I want to say sexuality, and that, my kinksuality, I don't know, that is just fully unrelated to sex. Like, they so can following be combined, that, but...
Following that, I'm curious if you would ever do a roleplay scene that was, like, non-sexual, but kinky. Like, what kinds of things would you do in that kind of, in that vein?
The first thing that comes to mind is something servicey. Some acting is some sort of... service human for another person, whether it's cleaning for them, shoe shine, or like, yeah, boot blacking, mm-hmm. like anything like that. Massage, mm-hmm. if I knew how to do it. I've been wanting to actually study that so I can add that to my service tool belt. Mm-hmm. And just to be told I'm good. Mm-hmm. Also, some sort of like endurance physicality thing, like personal trainer, boot camp, that sort of thing. Because mm-hmm. it's not like military stuff isn't my kink, but endurance is, and being forced to do like conquer feats, whether it's endure pain or learn to do something or, you know, be disciplined or endure fear and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to be challenged with something very physical and difficult, and being able to take on that challenge and theoretically conquer it,
mm-hmm.
would also be extremely satisfying for me. In, now that's where the line, like, in a non-sexual way, because, like, mm-hmm. it won't end in an orgasm, and, like, I don't know that it'd make my dick hard, but, like...
Yeah.
It would... I don't know if I entirely know how to divorce those two feelings, because it would be extremely satisfying in a very feel-good way.
Yeah, I think that we don't have enough good language for this divide.
Yeah.
And, like, I have definitely had times in my life where maybe I was so depressed that I didn't really have a sex drive, but I definitely still had a kink drive, and I didn't really know how to talk about that. Like, I would have cravings to be spanked or to do well on a service task for someone, and the only context I really had to discuss those things in was kink, which was part of sex. But it's like, especially with my new knowledge that, like, so many asexual people fantasize about kink and BDSM and stuff, like, I do think that those two things can be separated, and that there should be better language for discussing the differences, because, yeah, totally. I think a lot of vanilla people who learn about kink are, like, quite surprised when they discover that it's not always explicitly sexual.
Yeah, I'm, like, the past couple of months even, I'm realizing how much sex with other people, I'm like, yeah, that's fun, but kink with other people, I'm like, yeah, no, I need that semi-regularly.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Yeah.
I can get myself off. Like, sex with other people is fun. It's awesome. I enjoy mm-hmm. it. But, like, mm-hmm. I need someone to beat me every once in a while.
mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been sitting here trying to think about non-sexual role play and to what extent I would do that. And, like, first of all, I should say that, like, I have an improv background. So I've done a whole fuck ton of, like, non-sexual role play, if that's what you want to call that. I did competitive improv for years, and I coached an improv team. So I think, like, that's a lot of where my pleasure from doing role play comes from, is, like, revisiting the excitement of that as a creative act. And it is a creative act. Like, improv uses parts of your brain that don't get used a lot of the time at doing, you know, your everyday life shit. So it's, like, it's very exciting and gratifying, even just as an act of mutual creation and collaboration. But I think if I was going to do non-sexual role play in a kink way, I think that what would be really fun for me is, like, a professor-student type of situation where I would be, like, writing a test or writing an essay or doing some kind of, like, math problem or something, where, like, the person would be like grading and assessing me in real time, and hopefully it would be a task that I could do well, because that feeling of being praised and, like, being recognized for doing a good job and being smart and being the teacher's pet is so satisfying to me in the way that you're describing of, like, endurance. Like, it's, like, deeply psychologically satisfying. It's something that I need, and sometimes sexual, but, like, not always. And I'm actually really curious, now that we're discussing this, to see what that would be like if I played that out in a not explicitly sexual situation.
Yeah, so this is going to sound ridiculous, but at my new job, we have a riddle club. Where daily, we do riddles together. Whoever mm-hmm. figures out the riddle of the day before picks a new riddle and shares it with the group, and we have a whole day to, like, work together and figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that similarly satisfying to, I think, mm-hmm. the way you're describing, mm-hmm. in that, like, it is a puzzle, it is something that I can do, but it is just on the edge of what I can do, and it's going to take me a little while to be able to do it, and I'm going to struggle with it.
Yeah.
And it's very engaging and very, like, intellectually stimulating, and winning feels like this huge accomplishment, and it's that same, in the same way, like, an obstacle course might be physically enduring, like, some of these riddles feel mentally.
Yeah. This reminds me a lot of what I've read about flow state, which I was really fascinated by when I was minoring in psychology in school. Flow state is a state often described as, like, what happens to, like, artists and musicians and runners when they're, like, in the zone. But it's also been compared a lot to subspace and to trance and to lots of states that we would associate with kink. And some of the people who talk about flow state talk about how it's a state that you get into when you're doing something that's challenging, but that you're, like, up to the task of doing. Like, it's like, it challenges you, but you know how to do it and you're good at it. So it's, like, right on the edge of, like, something you can do, but something that's a little bit difficult. And I have a lot of, like, both kink and non-kink feelings about those types of experiences.
Yeah. And, like, where really is the line between kink and non-kink?
Yeah, we're talking it's impossible
about this, to say. About this blurry line between sex and kink, but I think the line between, like, I don't, the only reason I'm discussing these things as a kink thing is because I feel the degree of joy that it brings me is beyond what something, like, it's not like, oh, I ate this cookie and it was delicious. Like, it is this, like, pure, deep in me joy that I get when I win, when I succeed at these things, or when someone praises me for, like, a service I've done or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know, like, I call that kink, but I don't know how to define that as kink.
Yes.
Other than just, like, it feels like this new level of intensity almost.
Yeah, one of the most satisfying interpersonal interactions I've had in probably the last 2 years was when I was working on a draft of a piece of writing, and I was sending it back and forth with a friend of mine who is older than me and smarter than me about these particular things, and was sending me feedback, and I was adjusting the piece based on his feedback, and we were going back and forth. And for him, it was definitely not a kink interaction. For me, it was a little bit, but it was also on that edge of, like, is this a kink feeling, or is this just, like, very deep personal satisfaction at completing a task well, and, like, where is that line, and is it even worth it to define that line? And, like, it was so profoundly satisfying to me in a way that I can only compare to kink, but I don't know if that's really what it was.
Yeah, and that's, we keep coming back to the word satisfying, but that's that's the only word. For the, like, that is the word for that feeling.
Yep.
So intensely. Mm-hmm. I think I compare it a lot for vanilla folks, especially my masochism, but a lot of my kinks in general, to, like, the feeling after running a marathon or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it hurts like hell, you're exhausted, it's not fun, but you feel amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I have never run a marathon, but it reminds me of, when I was in university and I would, like, stay up very late to finish writing an essay the night before it was due. And that feeling when you finally get done the essay and you close all the tabs that you're using for research and you send the thing off and you're just like, oh my God, okay. So it's like that feeling. It's very good. All of my examples are academic. I might be a pervert.
I was going to say, like, that feeling is not an accomplished feeling for me. That is a feeling of dread.
Okay.
But
that is pure unadulterated joy for me. So
I can see, like, that feeling after I write something I'm super proud of. Because if I stay up super late writing an essay the night before, that essay is not an essay I'm proud of. That is a, here, look, there are words on a page. I did it. I have completed the task. I hated homework. I never did homework. No one in my family did homework, and we've all desperately tried to teach the other people in our family to do it. Like, each generation down, because my brothers and I are very different in age, and each generation we're like, you need to do homework, because I never did homework, and you need to do it. And then I just saw my middle brother yelling at the younger brother being like, you need to do homework. And I was like, bitch, you never fucking, God damn it.
Can we steer this conversation a little bit back toward roleplay?
Maybe.
What are some of your favorite roleplay situations that you have tried?
And why
did you like them?
A lot of what I do comes back to that kind of age play around, like, teenage stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, that's just such, like, a volatile and powerful time.
Yeah, because your emotions are running high.
Yeah, and you're all hormones, and all sex is the most important and exciting and satisfying thing in the world.
Yeah.
And you're so vulnerable, and you want to be, like, you're in this position where you want to be liked and good, mm-hmm. in whatever that means, and there's so much craving there.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really fun to tease apart and play with, and a lot of vulnerability in that.
Mm-hmm.
And often I'll either be being manipulated by, like, an adult who I'm supposed to trust, or a, you know, a bully or an older brother or that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the only other stuff that I, like, actually do in practice is DS stuff. Which, for me, I consider a type of roleplay, even if it's not necessarily a, like, structured, like, you're the dominant because you're a professor. It's just, you're the dominant because you're the dominant. And still taking on a style of dominance, wherein I also will take on a style of submission, still feels very much like roleplay for me, and I do, like, a ton of that. Or did, I haven't done it in a while, but... What are some of the other role plays you do? I know you do a lot of DDLG, but what else have you explored?
Yeah, I mean, my kind of, like, main three are, like, daddy, little girl, professor, professor, student, and then doctor, patient, which is related to my hysteria kink. Mm-hmm. There was this story, it's actually been debunked, so this probably didn't really happen in the Victorian era, but there was a story that women diagnosed with hysteria, which means in the Greek root, wandering uterus, were brought in for treatment from doctors, and the treatment was clitoral stimulation to orgasm, except they supposedly didn't think of it as sexual. They just thought of it as a way of, like, relieving tension and solving this medical issue.
Hysterical paroxysms.
Yeah, exactly. And this is, like, a very enticing fantasy to me. I think I really enjoy the power dynamic and the kind of knowledge differential there. And I'm always, like, really into any fantasy where the other person knows more about my body than I do and has mm-hmm. to kind of explain it to me, which is kind of a commonality with, like, all three of these fantasies. Yeah, the other thing I really enjoy about the hysteria roleplay is, like, in my conception of how these doctors operated, like, I think that they probably didn't know or didn't view the encounter as being sexual. So there's something sort of, like, clinical and, like, detached about it that I find really exciting. And then usually when me and my partner do this role play, he is, like, attracted to me as the patient and kind of, like, supersedes his medical ethics to pursue that attraction. And so the scene does take a sexual turn, but it would also be really fun to play with it and not have it be explicitly sexual, like, just literally role play, like, what one of these treatments would have been like. I don't know.
Yeah, I think one of the things for me that would be hot about that is if one of the participants saw it as sexual.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause that kind of brings in, like, the con non-con stuff for me.
Yeah.
Where it would be, like, either the doctor or the patient or whatever sees it as sexual, and the other one is like, I am just here to do my job. And they're like, uh-huh, sure, but your job gets me off. Isn't that great?
Yes.
And yep, just kind of, like, you know, it honestly, it doesn't really matter for me if it would be, like, the doctor who just diagnoses any hot patient with hysteria. to be like, yeah. Ah, yes, this is clearly what's wrong, take off your pants. or the patient who fakes her symptoms just to get in the room and get it over and over again.
Yes,
and the doctor's
yes.
like, wow, you must be real sick. And she's like, I know, right? But just, like, that little bit of a power imbalance where one person is kind of manipulating the other into the situation.
Yep, love
that,
it.
Yeah, that psychological manipulation is a thing that comes up for me a lot in, like, con-non-con stuff.
Mm-hmm. I've been wanting for a really long time to write a fanfic that would be, like, alternate universe BBC Sherlock fanfic, where Irene Adler, like, pretends to have hysteria because she wants a doctor to get her off, and it ends up being John Watson, and perhaps Sherlock invents the vibrator just to, like, help out.
I love it.
I love it, too. Someone should give me a grant so I can afford to write this masterwork.
Write the novelization.
Fuck yes.
And that is the history of the magic wand.
Okay, so what are some role plays that you haven't done yet, but that you're interested in trying?
So lately I've been really interested in trying, like, the whole breadth of con-non-con stuff. Mm-hmm. I've done it once before and didn't super enjoy it, but it was very much, I was doing it for the other person and didn't really understand the parts of it that I found hot and how I found it hot. Mm-hmm. So... and it was not very fleshed out. It was very much just, like, say no. And so I was just like, no.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You're defining, like, you're defining con-non-con here as, like, a straight-up rape role-play scene?
In that instance, it kind of was.
Mm-hmm.
But my attraction to it is a lot broader than that.
Mm-hmm.
So in that one, like... there wasn't any context to it, which is why it wasn't hot to me. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, a situation where I said no, and I was like, well, all right, cool, I guess. But for me, it would be more about the context. So I think, like, my con-non-con stuff ranges all the way from that kind of stuff I was talking about, where, like, slight manipulation or one person is getting off on something without the other person really knowing that it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
All the way to, and, like, on that end is also the stuff like, oh, well, if you say I have to do this because X, then I guess I have to because I trust you.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. But lately I've also been having, like, more violent, like, con-non-con stuff going through my head lately that I'd be curious to play out as well. But I would need to be with someone I trust a whole hell of a lot before that. But yeah, that's been interesting to me in a way that it hasn't been in the past.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
So what's on your fuck it list for role plays?
Yeah, there's only really a couple things that are looming large for me right now. one of them is, like, pretty similar to the hysteria thing. It's like a masseuse happy ending type of fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would enjoy being on either side of this, but I usually think of myself as being the client. And it's a similar thing of, like, this person is trying to maintain their professionalism, but they're attracted to me, and so they try to take things in a sexier direction. And maybe there's an element of, like, they're telling me that this is just how massages go, and, like, mm-hmm. I don't know better, so I just let them do whatever. So that's exciting to me. Another thing that I had talked with my partner about was kind of, like, investigative journalist role play.
Okay.
Which is interesting because, like, I'm a journalist and I really enjoy interviewing, and I really enjoy kind of, like, the psychological challenge that interviewing can be, like, especially when you're, like, trying to get someone to open up to you who, like, kind of doesn't want to. That can be a thrilling challenge in and of itself. So we were talking about, like, what if my partner role played as, like, a CEO of a company or something, and I was trying to, like, take down his company or, like, get some kind of information from him that I needed, and I would have to, like, sort of be flirty and, like, use my wiles and that kind of thing. And the interesting thing about this is, like, I don't even think that this would necessarily need to get sexual, like, explicitly. Like, it could be flirty, but I think that the satisfaction and the fun for me, and that would be more in the kind of, like, psychological interplay and the outsmarting each other and that kind of stuff, which, as we've talked about, is, like, kind of a kinky form of satisfaction that doesn't necessarily need to be sexual.
Yeah, one thing I've done similar to that is, like, therapist psychiatrist kind of role play where you're in like this vulnerable position and they're just smarter than me and can just manipulate me into doing these things where I'm like, it's just, it's for my own good and for my own well-being. Another thing that I forgot to mention that I've been having a lot of fun exploring is like switchy role play. Even like in con non-con scenarios wherein like one person thinks they're manipulating or thinks they're taking advantage of someone or thinks they're going to like attack them or whatever, and the other person has been controlling the situation all along and kind of turns the tables on them, like lures them into attacking them or lures them into manipulating them because really they want to be there and really they, you know, get off on it. Or they get off on this scenario where, like, the other person thinks they're overpowering them. And I really like the, like, switchy power play stuff that goes into that, on where it's really not clear who's in charge, and or it can change in the middle, and that person who thought they were in charge suddenly has kind of the wind taken out of their sails in a way that's really interesting for me.
Well, I think it's safe to say we're a couple of perverts over here.
Maybe just a little bit.
Thanks for joining us on this journey. I have been Kate Sloan. You can find my sex blog at girlyjuice.net and the rest of my writing at katewritesaboutsex.com. I did a post recently. I don't know if you folks would be interested in this, but I did this ridiculous post where I made a note every time me and my partner had phone sex for an entire month, and then I wrote like a very detailed, very filthy, very long post called A Month's Worth of Phone Sex, where I just like described everything we did, and there's some fucked up shit. There's a lot of impact and like hypnosis and DS and just like some messed up pervy shit that I thought you might enjoy. So check that out at girlyjuice.net. You can also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at girly_juice. Where is your stuff?
I'm Bex. You can find information on all my workshops at BexTalkSex.com, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram at BexTalkSex. Together we're the Dildorks. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at the Dildorks, or by searching the Dildorks in your favorite podcast app. You can also find all of our episodes on Patreon.com/TheDildorks, where you can toss us a couple of bucks to help us keep doing what we're doing.
Thank you so much to Protodome, who did our theme song. He's at protodome.bandcamp.com. And thank you also to Amy, who did our logo. She is at starboots_ on Twitter. And thank you to you for listening. Until next time, folks, get out there and live your sexy, dorky life. Bye.
So, I was hanging out with my brothers, and the 18-year-old was like, Bex, you know, the, like, the person who, like, oh, that, like, fetish thing, that, and I'm like, sex club? Like, what, like, fetish shop, BDSM store, and he's like, no, like, the person that usually, like, a woman who, like, isn't, like, beats people out, and I was like, oh, dominatrix, and he's like, yeah. But as he's going, he's like, I don't know, it's like, it's a fetish thing, it's like, I don't know. And the 13-year-old's like, why would Bex know that? And it was this really weird moment where I realized that there are people in this world who don't know that I'm like this. And I forgot that those people were still out there.
So pure, so young, so naive.
But while we were waiting for that to happen, a Marine in full camo drives by on his motorcycle, and I was sitting there like half asleep, and I see him drive by, and I'm like, oh, I'm gay. And like I sat up and said it, and my brother looked at me, and I was like,